议程项目的第四项，就是考虑这个南地和奕园分区计划大纲草图的申述，看看有没有什么利益申报。
是，麻烦主席。那这个项目呢，我都有利益申报要报告的。那这个项目呢，那个改划那个规划大纲图的时候呢，涉及两个地盘呢，都是先前有一个的12A 条的申请的。那地盤位置都是在南地啦，咁其中咧 OVL 同埋 LWK and Partners Hong Kong Limited 咧，分別就係呢兩個項目倡議人嘅顧問嚟嘅，因此以下委員咧係申報咗利益嘅。首先係 Tony 啦，佢過去曾經同OVL 咧係有業務嘅往來啦，咁另外 Ricky 咧現時咧就係同LWK and Partners 咧係有業務嘅往來噶。不過我哋知悉咧，阿 Tony 同阿 Ricky 咧因此咧，未能參與下晝嘅會議嘅，咁我哋都記錄咗有關嘅利益申報，唔該。
好，咁歡迎規劃處專員同埋佢嘅團隊啦，同埋我哋嘅申述人啊 ，Miss Mary 出席我哋依一個聆聽會啦。咁一陣嗰個安排咧，就會先讓規劃處嘅代表咧，就住申述嘅內容咧去簡介嘅。咁然後咧就到申述人去做佢個口頭嘅陳述啦。咁大家申述人咧就會有十分鐘嘅發言時間嘅。咁我對都有個計時器提醒大家嗰個時間啦。咁喺完成嗰個口頭陳述之後咧，就會去到嗰個答問嘅環節。咁咧委員就可以向規劃處嘅代表或者申述人咧作出提問嘅。完成咗嗰個答問咧，咁大家離開會議場地之後咧，咁城規會嘅委員咧就會進行一个内部讨论啦，咁我哋都会适当嘅时候咧，通知翻咧就系申述人城规会嘅决定嘅。咁啊，先将时间交俾规划处嘅代表。
好，唔该主席。而家我哋讨论有关考虑南地及奕园分区计划大纲核准图编号 STMLTYY13，申述编号 R1 嘅事宜。大纲图系有两个修订项目。圖中顯示的是修訂項目 A 和 B 的位置，亦都有修訂註釋和說明書。在2025年6月13日，大綱草圖按城市規劃條例第5條展示，供公眾考查閱。在為期兩個月的展示期內，收到一份申述。這份申述是由個別人士提交，他是反對修訂項目 A 和 B， 反對就註釋作出的修訂項目 D、E 和 F， 亦都就註釋所修訂項目 G 提供意見。首先看看申述地點項目 A， 它是鄰近屯門新慶路劃為住宅甲類一地帶，最高地積比率是5倍，最高建築物高度是主水平基準上100米，地盤的面積是 0.2 公頃，現時是用作貨倉，原本劃為住宅貿類和鄉村式發展地帶的。修訂項目 A 是為了落實小組委員會之前同意的中心第 12A 條規劃申請編號 STMLTYY10 作擬議的私人住宅發展，而根據申請人提交的示意方案，擬議發展是會興建兩座29層高的住宅樓宇，地積比率是5倍，主水平基準上100米，可以提供288個住宅單位，預計人口是778人。另外看看申述地點項目 B， 它是鄰近輕鐵南地站劃為住宅甲類二地帶，最高地積比率是5倍，最高建築物高度是主水平基準上108米，地盤面積是 0.99 公頃，現時是空置，原本是劃為住宅乙類一地帶。項目 B 的修訂是為了落實小組委員會之前同意的另一宗第 12A 條規劃申請編號 YTMLTYY11 作擬議的私人住宅發展，根據申請人提交的示意方案，擬議發展會興建5座14至27層高的住宅樓宇，地積比率是5倍，最高建築物高度是主水平基準上 107.8 米，可以提供1385個住宅單位，預計人口是3740。在2025年5月23日，小組委員會是同意改劃項目 A 和 B， 分別為住宅甲類1和住宅甲類2地帶的。現在我們概括講一下申述人提出的主要理據和規劃處在諮詢相關政府部門的回應。他是反對項目 A， 認為建築物高度在主水平基準上100米，與周邊地區特色不相稱， 因为附近的村屋只是9米高，而擬議发展会高出约11倍。因此以阶梯式高度轮廓作为改划理据并不合适。另外，擬議发展亦都会遮挡从新庆村儿童游乐场的青山山脊线，对现有的社区构成无法接受的视觉和影响通风影响。部门的回应是，项目 A 是为了落实之前已同意的第12A 条申请。小组委员会同意这种申请的主要原因是，擬議发展能够充分利用发展潜力，而申请人提交的各项技术影响评估证明擬議发展在技术上是可行，而且相关政府部门对这种申请是没有负面意见。右边这张看到是视觉影响评估中从新庆村儿童游乐场的观景点得出的合成照片。最上面嗰张相片是看到青山的山脊线，而中间的照片看到白色的建筑物是擬議中的新庆路和康宝路公营房屋发展，看到青山山脊线已经被遮挡了。而最下面这张照片看到项目 A 的发展将会融入为和成为公营房屋高楼大厦建筑群的一部分。因此从新庆村儿童游乐场这个观景点看到的擬議发展的视觉影响评估是极微的。我们再看看这张是南地及逆园以及屯门北部的发展状况。屯门北部近年落成了多个大型房屋发展，他们的建筑物高度都在主水平基础上140米或者以上。而项目 A 的位置在它西边有两幅土地是划为住宅甲类地带，即是深啡色这两座地点，即是刚才提及的新庆路和康宝路公营房屋发展，地积比率是 6.5 倍，建筑物高度是主水平基准上160米。项目 A 的发展是的建筑物高度是100米，因此对于邻近的公营房屋的建筑物高度并非不相称。而项目 A 的发展将会成为区内高楼大厦建筑群的一部分，而擬議发展的建筑物高度会沿青山公路南地段形成阶梯式建筑物高度轮廓，即是由西面的高层公营房屋逐渐过渡至北面和东面低矮的乡郊住宅。申述人认为擬議平台层设置两条通风廊和其周边的零散休憩用地无法舒缓反射热，而紧急车辆通道亦都占用地盘近50%的面积，浪费了珍贵的土地资源。部门的回应是，项目 A 的用地并不位于主要通风廊上面，尽管如此，申请人提交了空气流通评估专家评估，在平台层设置两条宽约 8.5 米和10米的十字型通风廊，原新庆路的建筑物亦都有后移，可以加强该区的通风效果。至于紧急车辆通道，即是图中粉红色的位置显示，是应该符合由屋宇署所定的标准，而屋宇署对这个擬議紧急车辆通道并无负面意见。这个布局仅属示意性质，作为评估技术评估之用，并不具约束力，要视乎详细设计的确定，日后仍需遵从政府和相关法定的规定。申述人是反对项目 B 的，将原有住宅越类一地带的地积比率增加至5倍，以及建筑物高度增加至主水平基准上108米，这个改划是偏离了原本的规划意向。部门的回应是，项目 B 旨在落实先前已同意的规划申请。小组委员会同意这种申请的主要原因是，考虑到在地盘附近已经规划的住宅发展，包括公营和私营房屋，地积比率都是5倍或以上，而申请人提交的相关技术影响评估能够支持擬議发展在技术上属可行，而相关政府部门对这种申请没有负面意见。下面这几张是规划申请时的视觉影响评估的合成照片，他们在视觉影响 大致是轻微至极大负面影响。最左边这张是从地盘南边对开明渠地区通道看到的擬議发展，属中度的负面影响。而中间这张是从屯子围儿童游乐场观景点得出的合成照片，靠左边最下边这张相片，最左边的是项目 B 的建筑物，而右边较深色的这些就是康宝路新庆路和康宝路的公营房屋发展。而最右边这张就是从南地大街的观景点看出的合成照片，前面较右边右下边这张看到前面较浅色有窗户的是项目 B 的擬議发展，而后面较深色的是新庆路和康宝路的公营房屋。再看看申请人提交的总纲发展蓝图，擬議发展是会采取视觉缓解措施，例如在明渠的建筑物会后移，有变化的建筑物高度 設計和建築物之間會有間距，預期不會造成無法克服的視覺影響。在右邊將再看看項目 B 和相鄰地區的擬議發展。項目 B 的西邊就是項目 A 和新興路及康寶路的公營房屋，所以項目 B 的發展將會成為區內高樓大廈建築群的一部分。因此規劃署總城市規劃師、城市設計及園景認為，擬議發展跟周邊地區已規劃的環境並非不兼容。申述人亦都關注時宜佈局，包括平均單位面積偏少、單位朝向輕鐵路軌、原名渠造成屏風效應、道路出入口單車徑的闊度等等。部門的回應是，擬議平均單位面積是 32.1 平方米，符合了政府規定新建私人住宅的最少單位面積26平方米。而申請人建議擴闊前接地盤面積、地盤和五樓路之間的一段路至 7.3 米闊的行車路，並提供一條2米寬的行人徑和2米寬的單車徑。運輸署和路政署對擬議的道路改善工程並沒有負面意見。申請人提出這個報告屬初步設計，日後仍需遵從政府和相關法例的各項規定。申述人指出，不清楚申請地盤內約三成用地屬政府土地的位置。部門的回應是，申請地盤內有 0.3 公頃的政府土地，即是約申請地盤面積的約三成，即圖中這個位置白色顯示的就是政府土地的位置。對於在申請地盤內納入政府土地，地政總署並無負面的意見。申述人反對項目 A 和 B 有關休憩用地，他認為擬議藍地及易園規劃區內的地區休憩用地嚴重不足，與大部分的鄰舍休憩用地仍未落實。休憩用地仍以每人2平方米的標準計算，與提升供應至每人3平方米的承諾不一致。部門的回應是，屯門區內的休憩用地大致能滿足現時區內規劃人口的需要，就香港2030加所定的人均休憩用地供應不低於 3.5 平方米的長遠目標，規劃署是會繼續檢討區內休憩用地的供應情況。而根據項目 A 和 B 的示意計劃，兩個項目均會在其發展地盤內提供不少於每人1平方米的鄰舍休憩用地。申述人建議活化明渠旁的空間為公眾河畔長廊，並於明渠兩旁設置行人徑和單車徑。部門的回應是，相關政府部門目前暫無計劃於項目 B 附近明渠兩旁設置附有行人徑和單車徑的公眾河畔長廊。這個平面圖看到原明渠的西面是有一條行人徑的，從下面將是擬議道路改善工程，擬議發展位地盤的南端的道路出入口增加一條2米闊的行人徑，而這條行人徑會連接原明渠的現有行人徑以及西邊五樓路的現有行人徑。擬議發展的人口會增加至4000人，但擬議發展並沒有提供任何政府機構或社區設施，新增人口會對現有服務設施構成額外的負擔。部門的回應是，屯門區內以人口為基礎的現有及已規劃的社區設施大致上能滿足屯門區內人口的需求。香港規劃標準與準則所定的標準屬長遠目標，及按廣泛地區分區作出評估，實際的醫療和社福設施的供應將會視乎醫務衛生局和社會福利署按規劃及發展的考慮而定。新興路及康寶路的公營房屋發展裏面有約 5% 的住宅樓面面積會預留作社會福利設施。至於教育設施方面，屯門區內面的供應是有剩餘的。申述人亦都反對就注釋作出的一些修訂項目。修訂項目 D 是在鄉村式發展地帶注釋的第一欄用途內加入政府垃圾收集站和公廁設施。申述人認為會影響公眾對這些設施選址和設計的監管。部門的回應是，這個修訂與城規會最新頒布的注釋總表一致，旨在精簡設置這些在鄉村地區常見及有需要設施的流程。相關政府部門會視乎情況，就這些新設施諮詢當區的居民、區議會和鄉事委員會。修訂項目 E 是會在鄉村式發展地帶注釋的第二欄用途內加入郊野學習、教育、遊客中心。申述人認為會鼓勵濫用新界豁免管制屋宇的政策，並會將這些發展項目授予外人。 部門的回應是，這個修訂亦都是與城規會最新頒布的註釋總表一致，為確保這個用途不會對周邊地方造成無法克服的影響，以及盡量減少對鄉村環境可能造成的滋擾，這個用途是必須得到城規會的規劃許可。亦都反對註釋的修訂項目 F， 申訴人認為修訂海岸保護區地帶的規劃意向和註釋的備註，令政府填土或挖土工程可獲豁免規劃許可，這個修訂會令有關工程不受到最低限度的監管，完全剝奪社會大眾在過程中的利益。部門的回應是，在藍地及易園分區計劃大綱圖上並無海岸保護區地帶，而修訂項目 F 是針對大綱圖的自然保育區地帶的備註，但是並沒有修訂地帶的規劃意向。這個修訂是與城規會最新頒布的註釋總表一致，旨在精簡規劃申請的流程，豁免條款只適用於預計不會造成重大負面影響的公共工程和小型工程，因此不會剝削在這個地帶內進行發展所施行的法定規管。另外，就註釋的修訂項目 G， 申請人提供了意見，他認為必須澄清就相關地帶註釋備註有關略為放寬條款的修訂，部門的回應是，這個修訂是屬技術修訂，旨在澄清相關地帶註釋的備註有關略為放寬地積比率或者總樓面面積或者上蓋面積限制的條款，這個修訂是與城規會最新頒布的註釋總表一致，而相關地帶的發展限制是並無改變的。規劃署的意見，備悉申述 R 一部分對就註釋作出的修訂項目 G 提供的意見，不支持申述的其餘申述部分，亦不應順應申述而修訂大綱圖，請委員考慮。
好，唔該。Miss Mary, over to you.
Good afternoon. I think I can take it easy now, as there's nobody else waiting in the queue. Object to both items, as they're exploitative in nature. Developments are now multiple times the planning intention of the original zonings and approved plans. The mantra is that development in NT will improve the quality of life for the community, providing larger homes and more recreational opportunities. But the reality is ever smaller units in high-rise towers built on limited footprints, with noise pollution issues are then essentially retrograde in nature and certainly the source of many mental health issues related to a lack of community cohesion due to limited access to outdoor spaces. There's reduced social interaction and potential feelings of isolation among residents. So we get Site A, subject to a previous application, 291, that was supposed to be two blocks of five-storey buildings providing 16 flats. And at the time, it was said the development intensity adopted for the proposed development was to ensure a development scale compatible with the surroundings and to create a step BH profile. And then it went on to say to the immediate northeast was a large piece of V-zone, mainly occupied by three-storey village houses, etc. But now the height of the proposed development is completely out of context with the character of the surrounding area, village houses and villas. Any new development should be compatible with the prevailing panorama. The reference to stepped height is inappropriate as the surrounding village houses are 9 metres high, so a development 11 times higher cannot be justified. The response to that was the proposed development would become part of a high-rise buildings cluster in the area and create a step BH profile along Castle Peak Road, allowing gradual transition from the high-rise public housing development in the west to the low-rise settlements to the north and east. So we go from 9 to 100, that's plus 90, 91, and then jump to 160. Well, this cannot be described as a gradual transition. Gradual would be on the lines of something like 9 to 50 to 100 to 160. Moreover, the 160 height of the PH was not what was originally envisioned when the OZP was approved. It has reached 160 because every single PH development has now applied and been granted 30% increase in PR and in BHR. So, certainly not in line with anything original. Because now, any development on Site A should be medium, not high-rise, in order to conform to a stepped height concept and to avoid unacceptable visual and ventilation impact on existing communities. The ridgeline of Castle Peak would be completely obstructed from certain viewpoints. Ridgelines in NT should be protected in the same way as those on Hong Kong Island and Kowloon to ensure that the community continues to enjoy familiar landmarks and views. Now, note that the images provided, as is usual, are deliberately taken on foggy days when you can't tell the difference between, you know, the sky and the clouds and the ridgeline, okay? The reflected heat will in no way be mitigated by the sparse OS, that there's nothing more than a few potted plants on the periphery. Then we have to mitigate the noise impact. The residential floors would be placed on a podium, acoustic balconies, blah, blah, blah. The applicant also proposes two air paths about 8.5 and 10 metres in width at the podium level. The applicant has proposed two air paths in the indicative scheme to form a crucified air path at podium level. But this is far less than the 15-metre gap that's provided in the public housing estates to handle similar issues. In addition to the inappropriate height and construction that the EVA... Is this the one with the EVA? Oh, no, I haven't got it. Sorry, I haven't got the copy on it here. But you've seen it on the... I mean, seriously, look at that. It's bigger than the entire complex put together. The dimensions are not provided on the plans, but the image indicates that the internal roads are much wider than the standards. Now, the standards for the EVA are 7.3 for a carriageway style and 6 metres for other types of access. But the planning department could tell us exactly how wide this is. I mean, how wide is this EVA? As I say, it's taking up more space than the entire development. Then item B, applicant reviewed the planned public and private residential developments nearby as well as the capacity, blah, 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 to further increase the PR so as better utilise scarce land resources. And we've heard that one before. And to boost housing supply. Yeah, the last thing we need is a boost to housing supply when we've got so many empty units. And the developers are desperately trying to offload some of them. So we have another application covering a slightly larger site with higher development intensity. Higher development. Indeed. So the number of units has increased 4 times. However, note that the size of the units is halved. So essentially no more than nano units with an average size of around 350 square foot. This is certainly not in line with the government's PR about these NT developments providing better living conditions. The response was, and it isn't really a response, was to tell us that the minimum flat size of 26 metres square for new private residential flats is mandated by the government. But this is, now even our Dumbo legislators are getting a grip on this one. And at a panel meeting, I didn't put the date down, but it was in October before they broke up, they urged the government to build more spacious flats to meet a growing demand. So the government is definitely not addressing that. And by approving these plans for ever smaller units, you guys are definitely not encouraging a better quality of life in the community. So that's that one out of the way. Now, where was I? But anyway, that's okay then. That one's been written off. Now, the OZP stipulated the 3 sub-areas within the zone. The parcel of land between the Nulla and Castle Peak Road is zoned RB1. Residential developments are restricted to a maximum plot ratio of 1, maximum site coverage of 40%, and a maximum building height of 4 storeys over the car park. Response? Well, there wasn't really a response. What the planning department did was to show you, say that there was no visual impact. But visual impact has nothing to do with planning intention. Visual impact is quite another issue. Planning intention is about what's going to go on the place. It's nothing to do with the heights. So that was because, actually, there's no better explanation for it being allowed than, so they have to trot out something, yeah. It's obvious that the planning intention is for a low-rise island near the MTR station to provide some relief from the dense developments to come. This will provide a backdrop to the pedestrian path along the Nulla. It is clear from the plans that this development, the path will be nothing more than a passage alongside a concrete wall with a line of small trees acting as a buffer. And then I asked what part of the site is government land. So the response to that was to tell us that the government land is actually all this along the Nulla and here, okay, plus a little sitting out space there, okay? So basically the periphery of the site. So why is this being given over to for development when it could be retained to improve the recreational options for the community? As the Nulla does not have odour issues, the goal would be to improve the quality of the water as has been achieved in Kwantung and Kowloon City. It is essential that the new communities have breathing space and recreational space. And now this district is severely deficient in both local and... Okay, you'll tell us that the entire district has got plenty of space, but yeah. Remember, local open space should be close to homes, 500 metres from the homes. I'll leave that one there for the moment. The district deficiency could be alleviated with a designated open space along the waterfront, creating a buffer between the development and the public footpath and a bike lane. They've mentioned a bike lane that would link up with that on the other side, forming a loop that would provide exercise options, opportunities for cyclists who want to avoid open roads. Instead, a mere 7 metres is proposed. I can see that there'll be issues of because it's going to be so narrow, there's going to be issues between the cyclists and the pedestrians. There's a complete lack of vision for the district. The site is close to public transport, so the potential for a waterfront promenade should be a consideration for the long term. Note also that the open space provision is based on the 2 square metres per person formula. This is not in line with pledges to increase the provision to 3.5 square metres under 2030. Now, we're a lot closer to 2030 now than we were when this was decided some years ago. While this may be difficult to achieve in older urban districts, it should be the target for all new town developments in NT. Moreover, most of the LOS for the district is planned but not implemented, so is certainly insufficient, as you can see there. The dismissive response to this suggestion underlies the fact that new towns in NT will have even fewer amenities than the older urban districts. There is no vision for the future while providing. Now, we understand there's always a financial issue. Providing these amenities, public amenities, is costly, but they can be developed incrementally. By ceding the space now that would provide these amenities, it effectively limits the possibilities going forward. Now, we've had this problem already with the harbour, with all sorts of other stuff, and we're now making the same bad decisions for the new territories. Now, this wasn't brought up at all. Mitigate the noise impact. The applicant proposed to adopt acoustic windows and balconies, but I looked at the plan, and so much for the improvement in living conditions. Members should question the layout that this places so many units to face the rail lines instead of when they could be actually facing the Nulla area, which doesn't have the noise issues. Now, the submitted VIA concludes that among the 7 public VPs, overall visual impact anticipated with the proposed development ranges from slightly adverse to significantly adverse. But never mind, Plan D says it would be taller than the existing immediate neighbourhood, but not incompatible with the planned surrounding environment. So there we go, all the planning intention out the window again. Mitigation will do the trick, and all the time and resources that were spent on formulating the OZP in the first place has effectively been out the window. Now, this underlines that the process is a farce. No provision of GIC facilities. The number of proposed residences increased to almost 4,000, but the development provides zero GIC facilities. Unacceptable, as the additional residents would place a burden on the existing services. Now, you can see from the HKPSG that there are shortfalls. So we have there the childcare. Now, remember that this 200 here is only proposed. It means that if the development doesn't go ahead or whatever, that might not even be 200. So even with that, we're minus 44%. Preschool habilitation, again, we're minus 27, but we're going for zero to hero here on that one again. And here we have zero to zero, so completely 100%. This one, again, is almost 100% because it's only proposed there. That's the residential care. Yeah, so lots of room for improvement on the GIC. Now, the thing is, we already have shortfalls, and we're told that, again, that 5% in the public housing estates will be provided for GIC, but this is no longer guaranteed, because I heard Winnie on television, I still watch the old-fashioned television, say that they are reconsidering the amount of space on the public housing estates to be devoted to this kind of stuff, okay? Because it was delaying the implementation of the PH development. So it looks like we're not going to get the 5% community services in the PH, or at least in some of them. And so this is why members need to concentrate on that proposed column, like I pointed out. Now, what has been ignored is with these developments is that land is much cheaper in the new territory, can have its development potential increased multiple times, and this is deterring developers from investing the time and resources required in acquiring aging properties in mature urban districts, because you guys are making it far too easy for developers to go and develop these sites in the new territories. There are thousands of older buildings in poor condition and districts with a full range of community services already in place that could be redeveloped. But there's no incentive because it's much too easy to go down this route. Now, the applicant has proposed to upgrade a section of the unnamed road to a 7.3 wide road carriageway together with a 2 metre wide footpath and a cycle track. Will this be made a condition? Because we've seen with Hopeless this morning that every single thing they promised the community was never implemented, like the MTR tunnel and lots of other stuff, and the facilities in the public open space and the public gardens, okay? Unless you guys put these things into the conditions, there's no legal responsibility on the developer to provide them. Amendments to the notes of the plan. As usual, the government refuse collection. Object. Column 2 ensures the utility is subject to public scrutiny and location and design are not intrusive, too bulky or an eyesore. The incorporation of field study into the village notes is object. Planning intention of V-Zone is to provide family homes for Indigenous villagers. Proposed amendments encourage the already rampant abuse of the NTEH policy that has resulted in most of the recent developments being actually units for sale to outsiders. Now, I made an error because, you know, there's a lot of stuff I have to go through every night, and I copied and pasted, and I forgot to change CPA on number F, the revision of the planning intention to conservation area. I kept in the CPA. So, anyway, same objections. gives the government unfettered and unaccountable power to basically do whatever it wants and makes a mockery of the entire planning process, as there is no point in proposing conservation projects when the lots concerned can be filled in by HKSAR whenever it pleases without being subject to even minimal supervision. The interests of the community will be entirely eliminated from the process. And then revision to the remarks. Well, so what are these minor relaxations that we're allowing to creep in here? There was no breakdown given of them. And I remarked previously about the participation in the thing. Now, we noticed that this morning, Tikchi Yoon put his hand on his office, but that's going to be eliminated at the end of the month, so they don't count for anything. There was no district councillor there this morning, Wanchai District Council. Absolutely shocking when you have a plan that is going to have a major impact on the district. And now we have no district councillor here. Now, I didn't read this out this morning because of the time constraints, but I'll read it out now. R15 for this morning, who was invited to attend, said, thank you for acknowledging my R15 representation. I did not apply to attend the meeting because, frankly, I've lost faith in the board's capacity and integrity to uphold their basic remit to represent the community as required under the Town Planning Ordinance Cap 131. Attendance would tend to give credibility to this flawed process. Sympathetic consideration of policy desires has been placed far ahead of conscientiously based assessments when processing planning applications. Accordingly, my personal view is that TPB should be disbanded and planning department officials should be held accountable for decisions on planning applications. This would enhance the professionalism of our planning officials and greatly streamline the planning process. And anyone who disagreed with their decisions could have should be given the right to address the town planning appeal boards. Okay, I think that's all my bits. I showed my little bit. Yes, okay, thank you.
好，咁睇下委员有冇咩提问。好，冇嘅，咁我諗大家都将个意见表达得好清楚啦。咁多谢专员啦，多谢 Miss Mary。